my heart, I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Oh, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Oh, yes, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Is that your desire this evening? It's good to be in the house of the Lord again with you. How many enjoyed that sermon this morning that we heard? We were actually talking about when we were up. I'm gonna say some things about Brother Dale, even though he's here. When we were up at the camp meeting, we were just kind of got to talking about how fortunate we are to have a good pastor that's taught us and settled us in the Word, so that when you go to a tent meeting, that you can, you know, kind of understand what's being preached on. So we certainly appreciate Brother Dale and all the years that he's ministered to us and everything. Well. All right, here we go. Are we good now? Everybody can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, praise the Lord. All right, so I wanted to speak this afternoon on a little subject from Hebrews chapter 11 and then from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if the brothers could get set to turn to those chapters and just take a little topic of empty vessels this afternoon and speak on and just see what the Lord has for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go to reading of the Word. Lord God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to be able to gather together among your people, Lord. We're so privileged to be able to know people that believe the same thing that we do, Lord, and be able to gather together and fellowship with them, Lord, and glean little tidbits of knowledge and information from one another and help one another along life's way, Lord. And I believe, Lord, you set things up so that we could, Lord, we need one another. We need to fellowship together with one another, Lord, and all together under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, we come, Lord God. I believe, Lord, maybe this afternoon many have come with full vessels, Lord, maybe with pride and maybe enmity and bitterness that we build up against one another, and maybe all kinds of doctrines that we've held over the years and things that people have piled up in us, Lord. But I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, this afternoon, Lord, that maybe we'll empty those things out, Lord, and come with empty vessels so that you can fill it up. Lord, realizing that there's nothing within ourselves, Lord Jesus, that can be of satisfaction to you, Lord Jesus. There's no strength within ourselves, but all of our strength comes from you, Lord. Lord, we look to you, Lord Jesus, with everything that we have need of, Lord, tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'll be satisfied with our offerings of praise and our songs that we sing, Lord. And Lord, that you'll just feel welcome to move among us this afternoon, Lord. Lord, that we'll have church this afternoon, Lord. And it won't just be a gathering together of just of vain worship, but of true worship, knowing what we believe and in the God that we serve. And Lord, we ask this blessing upon your people, Lord, knowing that you hear and answer prayer and that you'll meet every need. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 40, it starts off and it says this, and we all know Hebrews chapter 11 is that faith chapter that, you know, even you can't hardly read this without building up your faith and almost getting emotional. And when you go and read all of the things that people have endured and everything. And it starts off in verse 32, it says, What shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Now, you know, Brother Branham, when he, after he got done reading this scripture, he said he's talking about God's heroes. These are God's heroes. And God wants to make a hero out of you. So listen to how God made a hero out of them. And that's how he'll make a hero out of you. Was it through their own effort and through their own might? Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Maybe one time a good sermon to be preached would, what's the cost of being a Christian? Because these people, these God's heroes endured a lot. And you know, every person that comes to God is going to go through a little testing time, a little valleys and things. Sometimes it's not easy being a Christian. Of whom the world was not worthy. Because they were God's heroes, God's heroes. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect.
Right.
Now, set that in your mind as we go to 2 Corinthians 12:9. And we'll read this. And he said unto me, Paul speaking, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory. Now, this seems a very odd statement if you dwell on this and meditate it. I will rather glory in my infirmities. My, what a strange thing for somebody to say that they will glory in their weakness. I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, one thing I maybe call out when we were up there listening to the brothers at the tent meeting and everything, you know, every night the different brothers would preach. And one thing I was talking to Zach about this earlier, that each night a brother would take a message that Brother Branham preached. And, you know, it, of course, if you don't read the message or listen to the message, it's kind of hard to tell. But, you know, one night one brother preached on the countdown, one night one brother preached on the masterpiece, one night one brother preached on the attraction on the mount. What is the attraction on the mount? And, you know, those things kind of read true. In other words, the thing that I'm doing is taking a message is very common if you just know what to listen for. So I'm taking a message to a perfect strength, by perfect weakness. And just kind of breaking it down and looking at some of these nuggets that are in here. And even in this message, when Brother Brown preached this sermon, he talks about what a strange sermon, what a strange kind of topic for somebody to take in kind of the Pentecostal realm, the Pentecostal believers that's always talking about the power that we have, and then to preach on weakness, how that weakness is almost a good thing. And we talk about this last verse in this chapter, God having provided something better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect, ends with the word perfect. And we talk about coming to perfection a lot, perfect faith, a perfect love, from a perfect God, a perfect bride. We talk about coming to perfection through the stature of a perfect man. But really, how do we come to perfection? We come to perfection. It won't be through our own power or our own might or anything that we can do within ourselves, but it'll be a total reliance on God. It'll be a total reliance. You know, even maybe taking a step back, as you look at me standing behind this pulpit, I'm really, there's almost like two individuals maybe standing up here. There's me, the person. And then as Brother Dale was bringing out this morning, there's the office that I'm standing in. The office being the Spirit of the living God that can speak through me if I could get out of the way. And that's the problem with every Christian, every believer. If you could get out of the way and let God live. Brother Branham said, if we could get ourselves out of the way, then deity could be expressed. If we can get out of the way, then God can make himself express. So the problem that I have this afternoon is if I can get myself out of the way, then I can say something profitable to you. But if I don't get out of the way, then I might be just be preaching from my own bitterness or my own complexes or my own things that I think need to be corrected in the church. And I might be coming up here just to say something that would not be truly edifying, but just to speak something that within my own mind, within my own reasoning capacity, I think would be helpful. And it in the end would not be helpful at all. But if I can get out of the way and let God speak, then you've got something. Now, Brother Branham said in The Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, he said, oh, God's strategy, listen to this, is to take empty human vessels and shake the world with them. Now to think about that he can take a life that's all broken and all messed up, and if you'll just bring your empty vessel, regardless of what your past is, regardless of where you've been in life, and bring that empty vessel to him, then he can fill it up and make something useful out of it. Then he'll shake the world with it. He'll shake your job with it. He'll shake the church with the life that now you're demonstrating. He'll shake everything with it, because now you become one of God's heroes. Somebody that was maybe before was living in a broken, tore up life, and now God comes and fills you up with something that beyond all of your human effort, anything that you can do of yourself, and fills you up with the life of God to shake the world. And Brother Branham said that at Pentecost, what did he do? At Pentecost, he said it took them 10 days to get all emptied out. Now you imagine them sitting up in that upper room wondering who was going to be the greatest, and wondering who, you know, remembering who offended somebody. And Peter, I remember what you did. You betrayed Jesus 3 times and all these kind of things and heaping all that. But after 10 days, every day, maybe a little bit more emptied out until finally God was able to come on the scene and do something. And if you and I can ever get ourselves emptied out to where we lay aside all of our reasoning and lay aside all of our bitterness and lay aside all of our complexes, you'll see God come on the scene and do something. You'll see God be able to shake the world with your empty vessel, with your poor, tore up life. See God be able to grab a hold of you and do something with you. And Brother Branham said they was all standing there with their vessels turned up, and God took himself and filled them up. That's all. They shook the world. You see, if we could just realize like they did, they realized that they were insufficient. How could they take a gospel to the world? How could they fulfill Mark 16? They needed something that they did not have. And there's something else that you and I need. You and I need. Brother Branham, when he got to the end of this message, he was talking about how all the devils had been unleashed in this age. All the devils loosed at the river Euphrates. Everything coming against the bride. And how will you be able to conquer? How will you be able to overcome without God on your side, without God taking complete preeminence, giving yourself wholly over to God so that he has your soul and your spirit and your body and everything under his control? Amen. Now, Brother Bramble, let me get on to maybe an odd way to start this sermon off. We're talking about the insufficiency of man, the insufficiency of you to do anything, the insufficiency of the preacher to do anything of his own self. And the way Brother Branham started this message off was talking about altar calls. He said, I want to say that and clear so that you'll understand. Now listen to the way that he brings this out. This is such a controversial topic. He said, there never was an altar call made in all the Bible. There's no such a thing in the scripture. Nowhere down through the ages was it made till the Methodist age about 200 years ago. See? Altar calls, now later on in this message, he'll call it an artificial altar call. So if there's an artificial altar call, there's got to be a true altar call. Amen. There's an artificial altar call where man gets involved. And there's a true altar call where it's God doing the calling. And so we don't want an altar call where man gets involved, where man is the one saying come up, where man is the one saying surrender. But when God gets involved and you lay your heart on the altar, because not because a man convinced you, not because a man told you a good old sob story and maybe told you to go watch a movie about Jesus dying on the cross and it made you cry, big old crocodile tears, but because you heard the word and the word of God caused something on the inside of your heart to respond, then you've got a true altar call. You see why? You maybe when you go back and listen to this message, you begin to wonder, well, what does altar call have to do with perfect strength by perfect weakness? Because you've got to be successful at anything, to be successful Christian, to be successful message believer, you've got to get all of your humanity out of the way. You've got to get all of your human involvement out of the way and let God do everything. Brother Branham said altar calls are when people come up and try to persuade and pull people. Come on, John. You know that your mother died praying for you. Your mother died and you get to cry in old big old crocodile tears. Come on, John. That's not conviction, friends. That's not conviction. Them kind of very seldom you ever hear that one goes very far. And in that, you get everything. That's the reason the church is all muddled up the way it is today, is because of such things. Conviction. You don't have to say a thing, brother. You don't have to say a thing of yourself. You don't have to tell a big old sob story or anything. God's there and done the work. While, and he quotes, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them and they heard the word. In other words, what does it? What causes a true altar call? The preaching of the gospel. And when the preaching of the gospel goes, what is the preaching of the gospel? To realize that Jesus paid the price for you, that you don't have to work up nothing, that he's already done it, that he's looking at you now through the blood of the sacrifice, that he's not looking at your sins, but they're covered by the blood. All he hears is you crying up to him, saying, Father, forgive me. I know I've done wrong, and he's not looking at you. That's what the gospel message is, and that's what will bring conviction, not somebody crying, making somebody, telling somebody a stop story or anything. He said, see, there's no altar call. See, no such a thing. A real altar call is God doing the calling. God doing the calling. And Brother Branham goes on to quote, he said, because Jesus said, no man could come to me except my Father draws him first, and all that the Father has given me will come to me. That's right. That throws your altar call completely out altogether. See? Yeah. Our responsibility is preach the word. The Bible said as many as believed was baptized. Now what's really strange though is at the end of this sermon, Brother Branham makes a true altar call. A true altar call where the word being preached causes a reaction in the people. And they begin to lay their lives down. They begin to call upon the name of the Lord. They begin to give their hearts over to God. Because you see, a true altar call is God doing the work. A true anything is when God actually does the thing. When man gets himself in the way, when man can get himself in the way, it just messes everything up. We fail to realize that God wants us. He wants us to come empty so he can use us. He wants us to come empty. Now, Brother Ram told this story. He's told this story about how he said, Mama Charlie Cox up there in Kentucky that, she began to hand out tracts, and she got a little sister to start coming to the church there. And when Brother Branham went to preach there in Kentucky, that the little sister wanted to talk to him. Now listen good to this story. We're talking about weakness. And he said, I went into a home just a little before that. I was standing on the outside, and the lady said, I'd like to speak to that minister. And I went into their little home, and she said, you're Brother Branham? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I am so ashamed of the looks of my house. And she said, to ask you in. She started weeping. She said, but I have such a need, and I got real confidence in you. Now, here's a little sister that's living in maybe a little ramshackle shack on the side of the road. Now, Monica's brother lives right across the street from the house that Mama Cox was in. And we every time we go up there to visit, we look at that house. That house is a little, almost run-down little house where Brother Brown used to stay at. That house. And this house, he's talking about another little sister that lives in such a humble little place. And she said, I'm embarrassed for you to come into my house. I'm embarrassed. Now you think about maybe you, let's put it personal to you. You and your ramshackle house with all of your tore up back life, all of the stuff that you've been maybe involved with. Who knows what your story is? And maybe you're ashamed to have Jesus Christ come into your house like this woman was, because the way Brother Branham explained it was she did not realize that God wants you to be weak. He wants you to be weak and realize that you need him. And we get all built up. We want to be somebody. She thought that Brother Branham would feel more at home in maybe a mansion like Donald Trump has, with gold leaf bathrooms and all that stuff all over decorated. But God wants humility and meekness. And he said, I looked around in this home, a little home about like I was raised in, but the wall full of pictures of Christ. He stepped in, and all around that home was decorated with pictures of Christ. He said, there laid a Bible on the table. I said, I never any more honor in my life. I never any more honor in my life. This is the kind of home I like to walk into, a home that looked poor on the outside, Now, your house on the outside, you might have knee problems, you might have back problems, you might have all kinds of things, but God does not care. He wants you to be weak so that you trust in Him, because you will not overcome by your own efforts or by your own abilities. He said she asked a request for someone 5 hours from the time that we prayed together. This little grandmother and I prayed together. God had answered. God answered the prayer of that little sister down in her old ramshackle house in the middle of Kentucky, back where probably no great man had been. The president never went there, but a little prophet came and entered into that home and felt welcome there. He said, we try to make our weaknesses excuses. Now, if you could get this, we try to make our weaknesses excuses. He said, we want to tell how big we are, how great we are. I think that's one of the things that God gave me the text for. This is Brother Branham saying this, was to get that out of our mind. Get it out of your mind that you're supposed to be a big shot. Get it out of your mind that you're supposed to be a big shot message preacher. That you're supposed to be an evangelist on the field all the time. Get it out of your mind that you're supposed to have a big position in church. Get it out of your mind that you're supposed to be real important. Get it out of your mind, because God wants to see somebody that's weak and humble that He can work through. That ain't got nothing, no ability to their name. That can't do nothing of their own self. They're completely relying on Him. Brother Bram said there's so many of us likes to testify or likes to think that we're insufficient. And therefore, we make that an excuse. We'll make it an excuse. We'll say, I don't have any education. I ain't got no education. Well, that's exactly where God wants you to be, so that you rely on Him. You'll say, I ain't got no ability. I can't do it of myself. And that's exactly where God wants you to be. How can you get rid of all those problems? How can you get rid of that pride on your own? How can you get rid of that bitterness? But if you rely on God, He'll get rid of it. He's the one. You'll say, I'm unable to do this. And Brother Brown said, if you keep that up and do that in that way, keep going that like that, then you can't amount to anything. You'll never amount to nothing if you keep looking at your excuse and your weakness as an excuse. You'll never amount to anything. But the very thing that we make excuses by, our weaknesses, God uses that very thing to tackle the job with. Do you realize that your weaknesses is what God wants to see? He doesn't want to see a strong church, somebody that can't be taught, somebody that can't be reasoned with, come in with your big old intellect and everything, sit down on the pew and say, I'm not accepting none of that. But He wants to see somebody come in with an empty vessel, pour it out when you don't have no pride, you don't have no thought of yourself, you're ready to receive. Somebody say, I need God because I'm weak in myself. How can I heal myself? How can I save myself? I need Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, we must come to find our weaknesses, find our bad places, and see how little we are, and put our trust in somebody that's strong. This afternoon, are you ready to put your trust in somebody that's strong? Maybe all this time you've been putting your trust, trying to put yourself, make yourself strong, and trying to put your trust in your own self. Now it's time to come with an empty vessel and lay down all those ideas and put your trust wholly in one that's strong, one that can meet every need, one that can satisfy every empty place. Brother Branham said, that's the reason. That's the reason why He chooses us, because we're in that condition. And he said, we find out that those people who are the weakest and the rejected by the outside world is what? Is God's heroes. God's heroes. So don't ever try to be great. Don't ever try to work up something within yourself. I'm reading, these are Brother Branham's words. Practically this whole sermon is Brother Branham's words. Don't ever try to be great. Don't ever try to work up something within yourself. To try to work up something so that you can show your great ability. Don't ever try to be strong within yourself, because God wants to use somebody that is weak. Amen. Amen. So somebody, Brother Branham says, so somebody came up to him and they said to me long ago, said, Brother Branham said, we've just received the Holy Ghost. Shall we now seek for gifts for our ministry? Now listen to the way he lays this out. Should I seek for gifts for the ministry? Now what would a gift do to a little baby Christian? A gift, what purpose would a gift? A gift would help maybe a little bit, but a gift before long it would begin to puff up somebody in their head. One of the chiefest gifts that a lot of people want is they want discernment. It seems like in my Christian walk I've run across so many people, there would be reams of pages of people that I met before that say they have some level of discernment. Now let's think about that for a second. What would discernment do for you? Let's say that you were able to talk to somebody and all of a sudden you realize that they had adultery in their life or they were living in fornication or whatever. Now, what you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with that information? Now you got the goods on somebody. What you gonna do with that something? Little baby Christian, I'll tell you what they do. They go on Facebook and make a lot of vague posts about it. When I ran across somebody, I can't believe that so and so, make a vague, because what would you do with that information?
Right.
If all it does is puff up your head and make you think that you're a big shot, then why would you want a gift? But gifts, I believe that God reserves gifts for adults. God reserves gifts for mature Christians that will know what to do with it, that won't pitter-patter around with it, and it won't puff up their head, but they'll be mature enough to know what to do with it. Maybe if God gives you a gift, if you got a true gift, a mature Christian, you won't go running around telling everybody about it, bragging about it. Maybe it's something that maybe only between you and God that you know of, and maybe the pastor, maybe just a few people, but maybe God is withholding that from you. Maybe God is waiting to unleash that gift in your life because he knows that you won't do the right thing with it. Amen. Now listen to what Brother Branham says about it. He said, I said, don't do it. Let it alone. Don't seek for gifts. And he turned and looked at me and said, I just read a certain brother's book that told us after we received the Holy Ghost, we should seek gifts for these to use this Holy Ghost. I said, and become a stuffed shirt. See, and become a stuffed shirt. And what is a stuffed shirt? A stuffed shirt is a smug, conceited, and usually pompous person. A person who behaves in a very formal way and expects to be treated as somebody important. I'm important. Do you realize if a little baby had discernment, I got the goods on you. I know maybe it'll be able to list all your faults out, but what good would that do? What good would that do? What good would it be able to talk to little young people and whatever and say, well, I know all of your faults. I don't want to know everybody's faults. I want to see you saved. I want to see you delivered. I don't want to have a big old list that I can parade in front of you. becoming a stuffed shirt is the exact opposite of what God wants us to be. Where we will say, I'm the one that we should sit on the platform with all the ministers. I'm going to parade myself up there and sit on the platform whatever so that everybody can see me. I'm the one that should sing the songs. You see what happens when God gives you a gift? Maybe you got a gift of singing. And before long, if you're not careful, you begin to think that I'm the one that should always be singing the songs. I'm the one that can bring down the presence of the Lord. I'm the one that can do it right. And then before long, you have got a big old stuffed shirt. I'm the one that should have first place is what you begin to think. I'm the one. You've got to regard me. You've got to pay attention to me. And that's the exact opposite of what Brother Branham. Now listen, these are not my words. I'm just saying what Brother Branham said. You would be surprised how it causes a reaction when you just say what Brother Branham said. I'm just saying what Brother Branham said. If you want to get mad at anybody for saying these things, get mad at Brother Branham. He said, I said, don't sing nothing. God's got anything for you, he'll give it to you. And just let him take care of that. Just let him take care of that. Cause it would be better to walk in weakness and humility than to be a stuffed shirt with a gift. It would be better to be a nobody. It would be better to be a doormat where everybody in the church could walk by, like Brother Brown mentioned in influence and the message influence, and just scrape the bottom of their boot off of you and wipe their boot off of you. It would be better to be like that than to be a stuffed shirt with a gift. It would be better to be a nobody in the church. I want to live in weakness. Listen, if you can get to the place of ministers where you don't care if you never preach a Sunday sermon, as long as God can have the preeminence in you. I don't care about being a great man. I don't want to be a great man. I want God to be able to do something in my life. Instead of trying to be great, we ought to be trying to find out how little we can get, Brother Branham said. See, then God can use us. He said, when you are big, God can't use you. But when you are little, God can work. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some put all that trust in what you can do with your big old chariot or your big car or whatever it is. So, and 2 Corinthians says, such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. You see, Brother Branham said, when they feel like they can't, they haven't got nothing, that's when God can take a hold of them and do something with them. But when we are thinking that we're able to do it, then God can't use us because we're wanting to do it ourselves. So if you can get it out of your head that you can do it yourself, then God can begin to work. God wants you to recognize your insufficiency so that you'll put all of your trust on Him. All of your trust on Him and not on yourself. But then He said, on the other side, we get these feelings and then we think that we're insufficient and we don't want to do it. But then if we just listen to the call of God, that's the very thing that God wants us to get into. That kind of a shape so He can. Now, to think about that. That we think that God wants us to come out all bold and everything, which boldness comes from the Spirit of God, you see. But when you come out thinking that God wants you to be in a place of insufficiency, oh, yeah. God wants you to feel like many times, God wants weak preachers. Yeah. That's a weird, really strange thing to say. God wants weak young people. God wants weak old people. He wants you to realize that you can't do it in your own self and to rely completely on Him. Amen. He said, so long as we're trying in ourselves and depending on our abilities and so forth, why, we'll do nothing. But when we get to a place where we know we're nothing, then God can use us. God wants the poor, the backwards, the outcast, the broken vessels. And He said, there's one thing that we've got to master. There's one thing that we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. And that is we have to master the thought of human ability. The thought that I can't do it. The thought because you can't do it. But when you think that you can, then you won't. You won't be able to. He said if we ever get to a spot where we think that we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of that thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. He said, we cannot use one ability. We've got to make a complete surrender. And to come to God, you've got to surrender to Him both soul, body, and spirit. Everything that you are has to be surrendered to God in order that He can work His will in you and me. In order that He can work. Now see, then He goes on to talk about how you can't get strength. You can't get strength from your own self. And you can't, that also means that you can't get strength from any man. You can only get strength from God. You cannot, and that's our problem. We so often start looking at one another as our example, but if we'll keep our eyes solely on God, because you don't get your strength. You don't get your strength from yourself. You don't get your strength from anybody else. And He quoted John chapter 5, verse 41 to 45. He said, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name and ye receive me not. If in another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And Brother Branham's explanation when he preached this sermon was, how are you going to have faith if you're trying to get strength from somebody else's relationship with God? You can't even get strength from your own doings, from your own ability. How are you going to get strength from looking at another man? Keep your eyes solely on God. When He said, when we are expecting, saying, this guy, he's a great person. This is a great person. I'll just lean upon him. He said, that displeases God when you do that. We must lean upon God and God alone. We mustn't trust the ability of ourselves or any man. We must completely yield to God. And that's why in Jeremiah chapter 17, now this is a powerful scripture to quote. Jeremiah 17 says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You see the danger in that, as soon as you begin to trust in somebody, like look at all these people that have left the message, as soon as their congregation doesn't know which way to turn. Because they begin to trust in somebody instead of getting all of their strength from God alone. He said, no ability, I don't care whose it is, will never be usable in the sight of God. I don't care whose it is. God has to get all of our abilities out of us before he can achieve his purpose. If he's got something for us to do, and as long as we feel that we're doing a pretty good job of it, then we'll never be able to be used of God. See what God is looking for? He's looking for little rejects. He's looking for those broken vessels that he can grab up out of the pile, the ash heap, and put back into purpose for himself. He's looking for shattered lives like Rahab. Now you think about Rahab sitting on that wall, and in her life she had gotten herself into that miserable situation where to make money she had to sell herself. She had to sell her body, and there she was on that wall, and here come the messenger, the ministers, to pay her a visit. And that was exactly the kind of person that God was looking for, because she was broken up. She was, her backstory was just miserable. She had a shattered life. As Brother Branham would put it, she was the offscour of the earth. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for the offscour of the earth. He's looking for somebody that can't save theirself and knows it. The woman of Samaria, the woman at the well who had five husbands, and the one she had then when Jesus was talking to her, she wasn't living to, with, and she wasn't married to. And, you know, the Samaritans, the Jews couldn't even talk to them. They were treated like dogs. They were treated like they would skirt around Samaria, but that was exactly the kind of person that Jesus wanted to find. He wanted to find somebody that could not help themselves. A little woman like Ruth that maybe a lot of the Jews wouldn't even talk to, from Moab with all, think about that horrible backstory of where Moab even started from Lot and his daughters. And maybe they would, what a testimony to think about the heritage that the people of Moab had from. But that's exactly the kind of people that God is looking for. Unpopular. Somebody that doesn't fit in. Somebody that doesn't fit in with school. Maybe you're not interested in sports and all the popular stuff that they're doing at school. But that's exactly the kind of person that God is looking for. People with problems. People with issues. Somebody with a whole laundry list of issues that somebody's got to deal with. And you can't deal with them yourself, but God can. God can take those issues and do something with it. He can take that broken, empty vessel, patch it back together, and fill it up and do something useful with it. See, Brother Brown said, history proves that God always chooses the nobodies to become his somebodies. He always chooses the nobodies to become his somebodies. God takes the person, he takes the person that's nothing. Now that should build all of our faith up. Let's see, there's nobody in here that's beyond the reach of God, because he wants somebody that's nothing. He wants somebody that's broken on the ash heap of despair, on the ash heap of life. And Brother Branham said that. He said, here's something to console us. Here's something that encourages. Out of weakness and humility, God chooses the people to build his kingdom out of. If we ever get to heaven, if we ever stand in the presence of God with his church, we'll stand in a bunch of people that's been weak and rejected and cast out by the world and know it nothings. You'll stand amongst all of those people that were listed out in the Chronicles of Hebrews 11. All of the ones that through fire and through torture and all of that overcame, not through their own power, but through their own weakness, trusting in one who had the strength, through their own, denying their own ability. You think about how glorious heaven is going to be amongst people that did not come out of maybe king's palaces, but came out of the side of the road, just pulled up off the side of the road, rejects, the world's rejects. Brother Brown said that's God's opportunity. That's God's way of getting to us, is when we're weak. We get something then. This encourages, of course, because God's whole kingdom is built out of these kind of people. His whole kingdom is built out of rejects. His whole kingdom is built out of people that don't know hardly how to read their Bible. Have to, like a certain minister we know of that couldn't even read his Bible and said, God, help me to read my Bible. And God opened up his eyes so he could read the Bible. Rejects that don't even know how to read. Rejects like Peter and all the disciples. Listen, I'm preaching to you an encouraging message this afternoon. I'm preaching to you that there's hope. It don't matter where you are in your life. He said, remember, it's the offscours that God always picks up, the nobodies, then he makes them somebodies for him. He said, may not know it in this life, but it will be in the one that's coming. My, you think after this life's over, after all the heartaches and trials and everything, we're going to something more glorious than you could ever comprehend. And it'll be a place where all the rejects and the nobodies and know-nothings are gathered together, where God made somebody that ain't nothing somebody. He took somebody off the side of the road and put them, made them a prince with God. He said, if you're a nothing, you're something to God. If you're a nobody, you're somebody to God. But now listen. Listen now, the devil wants to get you, and that's where he wants to get you. The devil wants to get you to make you think that you're already full. To make you think that, well, I'm in a good state right now. I'm in a good, now listen to how Brother Branham says. He said, he made this statement, if the devil can't get you on this side, he'll put you off to that side. And we gotta have a balance. What are the two sides? How much you know, and how much you sense. How much you know, and how much you feel. He said, some of us build it upon intellectual conception. Oh, that this know-it-all, this man's a trained scholar. We should train our people and school them. In other words, look how much I know. Look how much understanding that I have. And now I'm so built up within myself, and then you become arrogant and you get real prideful. Now look, let's look on the other side of the fence. The next one bases it upon some sensation of movement, shaking, crying, shouting, dancing in the spirit or something, some emotional outward work. And he said, that's just as bad as the education. Both of them are just as bad. On the one side, it's just as bad to have your head full, to know all these things. Not bad to know. We want to know. We want to know the truth. But what's bad is when you begin building up an arrogant complex, when you begin thinking that you're somebody because of something. Or on the other side, when you go maybe to a camp meeting and you run through the congregation and the spirit falls because you preached or something. And then you begin to say, well, look how spiritual I am. Look how spiritual I am. When I preach, all of these young people come to the altar. When I preach, the spirit of God falls. And now, behold the workmanship of my ability. I'm a great man, I'm a great preacher or whatever it might be. I'm more spiritual than somebody else. And you begin to get further and further away from God on either way that you look at, and that's the devil trying to convince you that you're already full, that you don't need nothing else. But what I want to convince you of this afternoon is if you come with empty vessels, God will fill you up. He'll fill you up to where you get rid of all that pride and all the arrogance, and you're able to fellowship with other people. You're able to get around other people because the pride and the arrogance is gone. He said, but the thing of it is having nothing that you can depend on in your own self or anything that you can do. Just a complete total surrender of your weaknesses unto God and say, here I am. Here I am having nothing, no ability that you can trust in. No ability that you can trust in. He said some people, as soon as they become Christians, they become arrogant. Indifferent. That's right. When they're just taking a vice versa of the path. Arrogant is when you begin to get lifted up within yourself and you don't want to fellowship with people. You don't want to talk. You start looking down at people. You start doing like, we'll get to it in a second, like Paul, before he was converted, he was squashing the wrong thing. He wanted to smash the weak. He wanted to smash the weak people. Smash the wrong thing. So when you get arrogant, Brother Adam said, get small, stay humble, keep your eyes on God. Just keep your eyes right on God and stay as small as you can. Now Paul, Brother Branham was using Paul as an example. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1, he said this man, Paul was trained. This man was trained. He could speak, he said he could speak pretty near any language there was in the world. He had to brag about it. He was brought up under the strict sect of the Pharisees and his father was a Pharisee. Later, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and that means that he was absolutely the strictest of the Pharisees. He was a great fellow. He was good. He was great. And he had authority. And he was smart. His father had given him an education under the best teacher there was in all the land. Under the best teacher that there was, Gamaliel. At that time, the most notable teacher of any of the schools. So he had been taught really well. He knew, in other words, he knew the doctrine. Paul became that type of a man. He learned every language. He learned psychology. He learned all the different things that there is in to be learned that way. Yeah. And he said, now Brother Branham said this, he said, listen to this same man with all this education after he had received Christ, listen to what he said, how strong and great he was. He had to forget it. He had to realize that he could not depend upon himself. He could not depend upon all of that learning that he had to correctly interpret the word. He could not depend upon all that Gamaliel had taught to correctly identify the risen Christ. He had to realize that he could not depend upon himself. He had to realize that his education was nothing. All of that background, all the fact that he had learned all those languages, all that he had to deny. And now listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, how Paul approached the Corinthian church. Paul approached him like this, and he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. In other words, not with my own ability that I got from Gamaliel. In other words, he's coming with a revelation directly from Jesus Christ for that age. He's coming with a predestinated word for that day, not because he got a lot of education, not because he got it all a good schooling, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determine not to know anything among you. Look how weirdly this is worded. For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's speaking to a group of people that he's looking at them with all of their problems and all their weaknesses and all of their failings and all of their background, that many of them came out of the Gentiles and many of them came out of rough backgrounds and stuff. But he's saying, that don't matter to me. I want to see nothing in you. I don't want to see your background. I don't want to see all your intellect or your ability. I don't want to see nothing but Jesus Christ in you. Hey, listen, I believe that's what Brother Dale's been trying to get into us all these years, as he's trying to get all of our own ability baked out of us. He's trying to get our own self baked out so that nothing is left but Jesus Christ. So that we're not relying on our own selves to preach the gospel. So that we're not relying on our own ability to live the gospel. But nothing, he said, I'm determined to know nothing about your abilities. I know that this is Brother Branham explaining the scripture. I know that there's nothing in you, and I'm only determined that I know that there's nothing in you. I know that there's nothing in you, nothing good of in you. And I'm only determined to know one thing that I see in you. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. The crucified Savior among you. That's all I'm going to recognize. All I'm going to recognize is Jesus Christ in you, not your abilities, not your own strengths. And he said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, not with a lot of good intellectual teaching that came from Gamaliel or from the schooling, from what he had got growing up, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, the demonstration of the Spirit and God actually quickening the word and making it live, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Right. Now look, the reason Brother Branham said that he was fearing, that he said, I'm come to you in fear. He said the reason he was fearing, not because he was scared of anything, but he was scared that he would displease God in some way, that he'd get his own ability mixed up into it. Something that he learned. Oh, imagine him coming to the Corinthians and thinking, my, what if I get something that Gamaliel taught me that was off the word mixed up in here, and they were looking at that instead of the true power of the gospel? What if I get something even within my own self mixed up in here? But to get people ready so that there's nothing in them but God, it takes a pure, unadulterated word without any kind of man's involvement. Where I started off in this message with the altar call will get messed up when man messes with it. Any move will get messed up when man begins to inject their own ideas. And you see, that's what Paul was afraid of. He came to them with fear, afraid that he would get his own self in the way, inject his own ideas and his own complexes, and maybe throw in a little bitter jab at a Roman soldier or something that had done something wrong to him. It's got to come. You are what you eat. And the pure word, if we preach only Christ and him crucified, we will become only Christ and him crucified. He said, I come to you in fear that I would come that way, but I come to you knowing nothing but Christ and him crucified. What that means, What that means is that no psychology being preached, no church gossip, no parables from the world, no movie references, just the word of God only, no preaching about his own weakness. In other words, not preaching from his own bitterness or ready to come and attack somebody. No bitterness from things people say, no messages rooted in his own complexes, his own failings, wondering if people's listening to him. If we can just get all that stuff out of the way, then I believe God can do something. No revenge messages of coming up to attack somebody because they didn't like something. Because Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you. Nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was his objective, is to see nothing in the people of Corinthian except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Brother Ram said, listen to this man who was a warrior who had stripped himself. If there's anything that our schools needs today, if it's anything our churches needs today, it's a stripping of themselves, of your own thoughts and your own abilities. Strip yourselves before God unless you would try to do something within yourselves. He said, you've got to become nothing, not a know-it-all, not a great somebody, but a nobody. You got to come dust. You've got to get to a place that you know that you're nothing. I don't never rise above it. Now listen, for as soon as you rise above it, you rise above God. As soon as you begin to think that you have some special importance or you have some special ability within yourself, you're rising above God. He said, you've got to keep yourself in the dust, and on the road to Damascus, you've got to keep yourself off your high horses. When I get everything out of me, Brother Bram said, then God can come in. But as long as I got some of myself there, then God can't get in. And he said, now let's dwell on Paul a little bit more. He said, this great fellow Paul, he was a prince among the preachers. He was respected by every denomination. That man could have went to a city and had a meeting anywhere. Because why? Because he had credentials. Now see, it matters where you got your credentials from. He had credentials from his learning and from his background and from his education and from his own ability. But the credentials that come from a Christian come from God, come from the power of the Holy Ghost. He said he was so great and so determined to smash out all the people that was weak. Smashing out the weak. See, you gotta be so careful who you smash. But Paul was smashing the ones that God wanted to work through. He was smashing the ones that were weak. Now these are Brother Branham's words. That he smashed the weak. Smashing the weak because they have a background of sin. We don't smash people because they got a background. Because they got a tore up background. We don't smash people because maybe they don't believe like we do. We don't smash people because somebody struggles with theology and they're having a hard time. But you see, that's who God works through. Somebody that can barely understand. Somebody that's having troubles. He said he was binding the Christians. But notice him, he had to become bound himself so he could lose it. He could lose his strength and authority. And then we go on to Moses. Brother Brown said, we know he was strong and well-trained. And he said, seeing the need of the day, Moses with his intellectual powers and his ability that he had to do it with, he was a smart man. He was the coming Pharaoh. He had psychology. He had power. He had physical strength. He had everything. So he said, I'm well equipped. I know all of it. And if there's a man in the land that's able to do it, I am. If there's somebody that's able to do it, I am. And Brother Branham said he couldn't use it then, neither can he now. God cannot use our natural abilities. He said, I can quote that Bible with my eyes closed, and God can't use a bit of that. If somebody were to say that I can quote that Bible with my eyes closed, God can't use a bit of that. But he said one thing that Moses had going for him was he recognized when he was licked. He recognized when he come to a place, and that's what the backside of the desert, your backside of the desert experience is for, is to get you to a place to realize that there's no inability in yourself, that you can't do it of your own self, to realize that you can't do it, to realize that you're weak. And in this sermon, Brother Branham outlined the six weaknesses that Moses had. And he said Moses came to God and he said, Lord, I ain't no good. Now, how many of us have said that before? I ain't no good. Oh, yeah. See, that's when God is getting you to a place to realize that you can't do it on your own. Lord, I ain't no good. I ain't no good of my own self. And he said, I can't speak. I can't speak. I can't talk right. I don't have any kind of ability within myself. How am I supposed to speak? And then he'd go back to his background. Well, I slew an Egyptian. I killed somebody. I don't think there's anybody in here that's got a backstory that bad. I killed somebody. And you see, none of that mattered to God, because God was able to take that and patch it all up, fix it up, and put Moses into service. Sure, he had killed somebody. And Moses said, I can't go back. I can't go back to where I came from. That's the same story that the little woman that came and washed Jesus' feet with her tears said when she broke that glass of ointment. There was no going back for a refund at that point. There's no going back. There's no going back. Only going forward. He said, I can't go back. They won't receive me. They won't receive me with my message. How many times has ministers thought that, maybe in your private hours? I might start preaching and nobody will want to hear me. It falls on deaf ears. Nobody will receive me. But that's the weakness that God wants to work through. Weakness where you can't do it of your own self. He said, I got no message. In other words, I don't know what to say. How am I supposed to know what to say? How are you supposed to know what to say? Because we got a prophet that came and told us what the true interpretation of the word is. He said everything. He gave us a message of what the true, what God we should serve, that there's one God. He gave us the understanding of how to be baptized and how to live a good Christian life, and how that there's no ability within your own self, which is what I'm preaching tonight. And you say, I got no message, but God is able to give you one. God is able to give you the truth, the true understanding. And see, Brother Brown said, see how he was? He was nothing. He was nothing. He had been a brother. He had been cured. You realize that's what your backside of the desert experience is for, when you feel like everybody's hating on you and everybody's just using you at church. Maybe and nobody's putting you on a pedestal. Nobody's giving you the time of day. Maybe nobody's shaking your hand the way that you think that. And you're going through a backside of the desert experience to get good and cured, just like Moses was. That's when God is really doing something. When you're going through that curing process and you come out and you realize that maybe you ain't as big as you thought you were. And then that's right when God can get a hold of you and do something in your life. He said, yeah, God could use him then after he was cured. He said, did God feel sorry for Moses with all of his weaknesses? Say, poor little Moses. Something sure has happened to you. You fell from your degree. He said, no. No, he was a little bit upset with him. And he said, Brother Branham said, don't expect pity from God when you've come through your wilderness experience and maybe had everybody been treating you wrong. And he said, don't expect pity after going through your backside of the desert experience. God, because then, right then is when God can do something.
Amen.
Moses getting cured up, God could use him. And then Jacob wrestling. He come to, you know how many times Brother Branham would use Jacob as a type of somebody that was born again and then coming to their place in their life, coming at that place, crossing over, ready to meet Esau, realizing that they needed something else. And you see Jacob, who had the birthright, come to a place. He was walking on, and Brother Brown was using this as an example. He said he come to that place where all of his family, he said all of his family on, and there he was all alone at the crossing over place, ready to go over to meet Esau, and then he began to be afraid of death. He began to be afraid that he was going to die, and he began to realize that he needed something else, and he began to empty out. And that's when he had that experience wrestling with the angel. Maybe we'll just want to get across to you. Pay attention to how Brother Branham explained the experience wrestling with the angel. It's so different maybe than a lot of times we think about it. He said, oh God, let the church get like that. Get to the church to a place where it can't hold on any longer with its natural abilities, but has to give over to God. Now see, who was Jacob really wrestling with? He's wrestling with the angel. He's wrestling to get rid of his own abilities. When he comes to the place where he knows that he can't do it of his own self, then he just gives it over to God. And he conquers. He's able to overcome. Able to overcome by just giving in and letting God take over. A lot of times we wrestle within ourselves because we think that there's some innate ability within ourselves to overcome. Some ability within ourselves to get rid of the vaping, or to get rid of the cigarette smoking, or to get rid of the pot smoking, or to get rid of the drinking, or to get rid of whatever it is as you move up the stature of a perfect man, to get rid of all those things and to see the devil leaving you, to see the devil getting away from you. There's no innate ability in you at all. There's nothing within yourself at all. It all comes from God. If you can just give in and let God take over. You see, that's many times that's our problem with our kids, is we think that somehow we can say the right thing to our family or the right thing to our kids. But if you'll just give it over to God like Moses' mama did when she put him in the bulrush and just turned him loose and said, God, you take over. You take over while he's going through the crocodiles and past all the hippos and everything. You take over. Then watch God actually perform a miracle. Watch God do something. I so appreciated Brother Luis's testimony the other night about his prayer, because I've seen that as well in my own life. Listen, if you put something before God in prayer and just say, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. You're going to have to do something. You watch and see if God will not come by. Whether you lost your keys or your wallet or you lost your kids or you lost your loved ones or your parents, whatever it is, watch and see if God won't come on the scene. Why? Because it's you're surrendering your own ability. You're coming to a place where I know that I can't do it, and I got to rely on somebody that's got strength. See, Brother Branham said it was then that Jacob became a prince of God. The Bible said he became a prince, and his name was changed. And he was a strong man on this side, intellectually powerful. But on the other side, he was a limping prince, weak and wore down, but had power before God. My, that's a paradox now. To think of a man, you talk about coming to adoption and coming to hear ye him conditions and coming to a place where God can use you. But what would that look like? What would it look like on the outside? Would it look like Jesus on the cross dying, coming to a place where he had given everything over? Would it look like Peter, who was crucified upside down? Would it look like somebody that had given their whole life over? Brother Branham, who everybody had left him deserted, preaching in a little mobile home. Nobody listening to him, it seemed like, anymore, until he died, killed by a drunk driver. And it looked like he had died in weakness, but he died in power. His life was lived in the strength and the power of the gospel. Many times, you see, God is looking for a weak vessel, a weak, empty vessel that he can work through, somebody that will yield themselves to him. He said, let the angel get a hold of you one time, the angel of the Lord, that'll bring you the truth of the message. Let him get a hold of you one time. You'll humble right down to the baptism in Jesus' name. You'll humble right down to all the rest of it if you'll just give it over to God and let God move and do through you as he will. And David, the poorest excuse there was on the field to go father to favor, David, the eighth child after all those seven church ages, after all the church ages had gone through. And finally, there's a little one that everybody had neglected. Somebody, a little small little group of people that is willing to fulfill the word of God that everybody had overlooked, that David's own dad had overlooked, that even the prophet had overlooked. The prophet came to anoint him and he's like, I don't know what to do. It didn't seem like any of the ones that would be acceptable of God were present there. All the big ones, all the strong ones, but God selected the weakest out of all of them. And I'm kind of hurrying through my notes here. But and David came to Goliath. Brother Branham said, with a raisin pie in his hand for his brother, a little raisin pie in his hand, and he didn't come with a sword, and he had no use for the all the armor that Saul had. But he came. Well, he picked up the weakest, most miserable looking weapon that you could find on the battlefield, a little sling that he could twirl around, and instead of picking up like a trebuchet or a catapult or something, he picked up five little stones. Listen, that's all you need to overcome. You don't need any of your own abilities. You don't need any of your own strength. All you have to have is faith and jesus, and you can overcome everything, every Goliath that the devil throws at you in your life. He said all he wanted, he said, I got my trust in God and here I go. That's it. And the giant went down. The giant went down with the weakest out of all his brethren, the weakest out of all of Israel, with the weakest weapon that he could possibly have chosen, with no armor on, because all he had, he put everything, every ability was just thrown on God. He had stripped himself before God. He had stripped himself and called himself unworthy, realizing that he had no ability in himself. Brother Brown said, we need a David untrained in the theological schools. We need a man who knows nothing about that. Some little plowboy or something. Some little guy with his stooped shoulders, not much to look at, will come walking down the road with the power of God. You see, we've got victory through weakness. We've got victory through weakness. Paul's sitting there in a jail cell with 39 stripes across his back. Brother Branham said, with tears scalding his eyes until he couldn't see no more. He couldn't see with his natural eye, but he could see a crown of righteousness laid up yonder. Brother Branham said his ankles were wore out and fell off so much from all the molded bread they throwed in there. He just got weak from all the molded bread and he couldn't hardly hold himself up. And the rats running all over him and spiders and things, but he was looking at that crown of righteousness. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When death come at him, when death was right there at the door, he was not looking at his own abilities, but he was looking at a prize that was laid up for him. And Elijah, after he had combed through, Brother Ramsey, he had combed through all the people until, preaching that hard message until there was hardly anybody left to listen to him anymore. They didn't want to sit and listen to that hard message being preached. Combed through until there was just nobody left. How he combed them and they all just kept falling away till there was nobody. And then when he got weak, then he became strong. That's when Brother Branham said he gave him a new message. He gave him a new message when he got weak. When he got to the point, he said, now you go tell the king. He said, go down there and tell that hypocrite, thus saith the Lord, there'll not even be dew fall from heaven till I call for it. When he became weak, when he realized that within his own self, there was no ability, then God took him up on the mountaintop to show him something. And then I'll be closing in just a second now. Now, how about that widow with a handful of meal there in 2 Kings chapter 4? When she got to her weakness, she had a debt to pay off and she couldn't pay that debt off. And they were going to come take her two sons away. And Elisha, now Brother Branham in this sermon, he says Elijah, but it was Elisha in the Bible, Elisha that was coming to this little widow woman. And he said, she had got to her weakness. She'd probably starved herself to death. She had no meal. And Elijah said, what have you got in your house? Just a little oil in a vessel. Just a little oil. And he said, go to your neighbors and borrow plenty of them. Get all the empty vessels that you can. Bring all the empty vessels and then you're going to see God do something. When you bring all the empty vessels, he said, there, look, getting ready before it even happens. Get ready. David heard that sound in the mulberry, but she was getting ready. She was going around, bring me your empty vessels, because the prophet of God told me that I'll bring my empty vessels, then something's going to happen. And she began to go, get ready. If you'll get ready, then get ready. How do you get ready? By emptying yourself out. Get ready. Before you come to church, if you'll get rid of it, before you take communion, get rid of all that pride, go pray up before God and get ready, because God, then you'll see God do something for you. He said Elijah saw a cloud just the size of a hand. If God could only get some empty vessels, that's right. He said, fill the house full of them. Fill the house full of them. See what God wants? God's got to have empty vessels. There's only one thing left to do. Turn to God and His Word. And if you'll do that, get some empty vessels. Take out all the Methodists out of them, all the Pentecostals out of them, all the Baptists out of them, and just let them be vessels and set them up in the house. In other words, if you can get rid of all your ideas about how things should be, all your pride, all of your enmity, just get rid of everything and just lay it before God. Lay whatever the situation is before God and say, I'm coming empty. I'm coming. And I believe the prophet told me, that just like that little widow woman, the prophet told me, if I would get my vessel and just empty out myself, that you'll fill it up. He said, God, send us a prophet that will take the word of God, that will not take something else, but just get empty vessels. If God can just get empty vessels and then take the word of God and pour it into the person. Not some say, oh, I shook when I received it. I spoke in tongues when I received it. I danced in the spirit. Forget it. Just stay there until it comes. That's all, till the vessel's full. That's it. That's the way you do it. Yes, sir, the simplicity of it. The vessels was filled up. Why? Because she did what the prophet told her to do. She brought those empty vessels and just obeyed it. He said, if you can come just based on one word of God, just based on nothing. Now listen to how simple this is. Just with nothing else, no other understanding. We think a lot of times you've got to come you can't get nothing until you understand Daniel 70 weeks and the seven seals. But Brother Branham said, I can just take one little scripture, Acts 2:38, and that's all we need. Just obey that. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall be filled up with the oil, and you shall be filled. And listen to the way he explained it. You add to that drop, another drop, and it keeps dropping in, drop, 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 until you get full, full. That's all you need to come, and then you just keep adding to that, adding little drops, one drop at a time. And he said, that's the drop that Peter used on the day of Pentecost. That's the drop that Paul used. That's the drop that all the disciples used. The rest of it will be added. You just take that drop and follow that through, and the rest of it will be all right. Get weak. Get empty. Come with an empty vessel. Come ready to receive. Come ready to receive those drops straight from the Word of God, and God will fill you up with His Word. God will fill you. And you see, that little widow woman, she had gathered all those empty vessels from all of her neighbors, and she come and she heard the word of Elisha that said, now bring them here. Bring them here. The musicians can come. Bring them here. Bring your empty vessels, and God will fill it up. You don't have to go to seminaries. You don't have to be smart. Only thing you have to do is recognize that you know nothing. Let God get a hold of you, and He'll take care of the rest of you. If you can just get empty. You believe that this afternoon? Let's just worship the Lord. I want to empty myself out so that God can fill me. I want to empty myself out of everything that is displeasing to God, everything that's contrary to Him, and just give myself fully over to Him that He can do something.
Amen. If the brothers in the back can project that on the screen. The song, I Need More of You.
I need more of You. That's the way it's got to be. I need more of You. Till there's no room left in me.
Just praise Him now.
All those wasted hours and minutes.
Think about all those wasted
hours. They're yours now.
And now you can come back
around. From the start to the finish. I need more of You in me.
Just get weak and get empty.
I need more of You.
Of God's sacrifice.
That's the way it's got to be. I need more of You. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're Yours now. From the start to the finish, I need more of You in me.
Once again now.
That's what we all need, isn't it? More of Him.
I need more of You. That's the way it's got to be. I need more of You. Till there's no room left in me.
Just fill me up, Lord.
All those wasted hours and minutes, they're Yours now. From the start to the finish, I need more of You. In me.
Let's sing Sweep Over Me. Sweep.
Sweep. Over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. My rest. sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Amen. You loving this evening? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we're dismissed. Lord, we thank you, God, so much for your grace to us in this hour, Lord, for your word, Lord, and for your delivering power, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone, Lord, that still hasn't just broken through, Lord God, that maybe they'll just hang around a little while, Lord God, that they'll just, Lord, fully empty out, Lord, in themselves, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're still able to heal and deliver, Lord God. You're still able to save the lost and heal the sick, Lord God. And we just thank you, God, for all that you've done for us in this hour, Lord God.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that you'll just go with your people, Lord, in power, Lord, to protect them on the way home, Lord, and just be with them, Lord, and everything that they need, Lord Jesus, we pray. We pray this blessing upon your people. Anything else, Lord, brother? Let's just sing it to him as we're dismissed.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over